Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word, and I hope you'll stick with us here this afternoon. And again, I hope you were listening last half hour. Good message there with Pastor Lutz. And then, of course, after us, be Pastor Rusnacko. The Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, and there'll be another good message as well, always is. But in the meanwhile, you got me sandwiched in between those two, and I'm, of course, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. Certainly invite you to visit us out there sometime. Tonight would be a good night if you're not doing anything this evening. We have our Friday night Bible study tonight. That's at 7 o'clock, 7 till 9, and we just have an informal Bible study where you bring questions, and we have Bible questions, questions about the Bible, questions about current events in light of God's Word, and we just have an informal time of fellowship. We got some refreshments, some coffee and stuff, and we just basically take the time to just to discuss and talk and just consider what the Bible has to say, and that's one of my favorite times of the week. And then, of course, we have our regular Sunday services, Sunday morning, at 11 o'clock. I'm currently preaching through the Gospel of John. And then Sunday night at 6 o'clock, I'm preaching through the book of Proverbs. And so that's what we've got going on at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. Got a special thing coming up this Sunday, however. And we've got our annual spaghetti dinner. And we started this some years ago. It must be over 20 years ago now that I think about it. And a lot of churches around, you know, mid-February have sweetheart banquets and things like that. And we were looking at different things, and we realized that in our church we had a lot of people who were widowed and single and things like that. And so we thought, well, it's kind of hard to have a sweetheart banquet when you'd only have a couple of people be able to show up. And we thought, well, why limit it to couples? Why not let everybody have an opportunity? And we came up with the idea of just having a spaghetti dinner with the whole church invited, and whether you're single, whether you're a couple or whatever, we just enjoy some fellowship after church. So we'll be doing that this coming Sunday following the morning service, about 12:30, our spaghetti dinner. So if you're looking for an opportunity or reason to visit us, this would be a great time to do it. You can stay for dinner afterwards as well. Just make sure if you wear a tie that's a red spotted tie, so in case you get spaghetti sauce on it. But that's coming up this weekend. Also wanted to mention something too. Certainly the Richfield Bible Baptist Church is the main sponsor of our program. If you go to livewithpastoral.com, that's livewithpastoral.com, you can find out more about our church, about me, about the program, listen to past programs, and there's links there, of course, to the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. But also, you can, you'll notice there that we have another sponsor, and that's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. Usually I mention them on Sunday night, we'll have more time, but I wanted to mention East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights today, because today is February 9th. Say, well, that's right, Pastor Al, that's obvious. Yes, but what might not be obvious, this is National Pizza Day. And so if you've been looking for an excuse to try East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, today's the day to do it. It's National Pizza Day. And you can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call them at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And since today's National Pizza Day, this would be a great time to try their pizza. I think it's one of the best pizzas around. See, Pastor Lutz is probably listening. He's just got on the highway, probably headed west, and he's thinking, I'm going to turn around the next exit so I can go over to East Coast Pizza, because he really likes it too, but being pizza day today. So I just wanted to mention that, and certainly thank Gus out there at East Coast Pizza for helping with our program, and thank you for his friendship and the great pizza that he makes. East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road and give them a call, 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. All right, we're going to get back into our discussion. We have been leading up to the Millennial Kingdom. We got into the Millennial Kingdom. We came to the end of the Millennial Kingdom. And now we're going to be moving further on into the New Jerusalem, the New Heaven, the New Earth. And we're going to start talking about that here today. But just to give you an overview where we're at, we talked about the catching away of the believers prior to the tribulation. And that's certainly an exciting event that's going to take place. I'm looking forward to that. When this old corruptible body puts on incorruption, this old mortal body puts on immortality, and we receive a new glorified body, a body like that of the risen Christ, where we will be able to live for all eternity in that new body. And of course, we'll be in heaven during the period of the tribulation here on earth, the 7-year tribulation period. At the close of the tribulation period, the saints in heaven, Old and New Testament saints, along with the angels, will accompany Jesus Christ back to the earth at the Battle of Armageddon, where the Antichrist and his forces are defeated. And the Antichrist, as he's called in Revelation, the beast, and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire at the end of the tribulation period. The devil is thrown into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, and we see this in Revelation 19 going into Revelation chapter 20. And during that 1,000 years, while the devil is bound in the bottomless pit, we find that Jesus establishes his throne over the world, not just over Israel, not just over Jerusalem, but over the world. He'll rule and reign from Jerusalem. Jerusalem will be the capital of the world. And it'll be, of course, the capital of Israel, which it is, and rightly should be. And Jesus will rule and reign physically from a physical throne in the flesh here on this world. We will rule and reign with him during that 1,000-year period of time. And last that we looked at this, we got down to the end of the tribulation period, or the end of the millennial period, and we see that people will be living for hundreds of years during that time. There'll be a new temple, and much of the curse will be gone, and life will be in some respects restored to what it was in living conditions prior to the flood, where people will be able to live, as I said, for hundreds of years. And then at the end of the millennial reign of Christ, the end of the 1,000 years, the devil is released from the bottomless pit for a season, the Bible says. Doesn't tell us how long the season is. And during the course of that time that he's released, rather than humble himself before God, he tries one final attempt to overthrow God. And, of course, there's many people who were born during the course of the millennial kingdom who have not put their faith in Christ as their Savior. You say, wait a minute, isn't everybody in the millennial kingdom saved? Initially, yes. We who return with Christ, of course, we are saved, and we will be there in our glorified bodies. The people who survive the tribulation period, that'll be about a third of the Jews who will come to Christ and embrace him as their Savior, as their Messiah at the end of by the end of the tribulation. And it also includes a number of Gentiles, perhaps a third of the Gentiles, if you use the Jewish people as an index. But whatever the amount is, these people will go into the millennial kingdom, as we saw, and they will make up the nations and the peoples of the earth. They will have children. They will be like we are today. They will be in their current body, just like we are today, with the sin nature, and they will have children. And those children will be born with a sin nature, and those children will have to either, by faith, follow Christ as their Savior or not. And you think, how could they not? Well, how could the some of the Jewish people reject God? When God led them out of Egypt, they saw the miracles that took place. They saw the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. They saw the waters pushed aside as they passed through the Red Sea and all these things. And yet, a number of them still rejected God then. So that'll happen during the millennial reign of Christ. You and I who know Christ as our Savior, we will rule and reign as in the civil and the religious aspects of the government of Christ, as priests and princes with Christ. And we will be here during that time. And other people, as they live on this earth and have children, those children will grow up. And as I said, some of them will chafe under the rule of Christ. And when the devil is released after the 1,000 years are up, they will gravitate toward him, and they will try one final rebellion against God. And I always like to read this because it's so short. You know, you have all this discussion in the Bible on the tribulation period and things that take place there. And here you have in Revelation 20, verse 7, "And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them." Boom, it's over. That quick. And then it says in verse 10, "The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." This also lays to rest the false teaching the Seventh-day Adventists have of annihilation, where you're just thrown in the lake of fire and you're just burnt up like a piece of tissue paper, because the beast and the false prophet were thrown in there over 1,000 years earlier. They're still there being tormented day and night. And then the devil is thrown into the lake of fire, and he's thrown in to be tormented day and night, and as it says, forever and ever. And of course, that reflects what it says in Revelation chapter 14, where it talks about those being thrown into the lake of fire. At Revelation 14, starting verse 9, "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast in his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." And that is hardly a description of the false teaching of annihilation. It says their smoke goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day nor night. This is an eternal thing. They are tormented, as it says here in chapter 20, verse 10, tormented day and night forever and ever. And then we go into the great white throne judgment, and that begins in verse 11. "I saw the great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of these things which are written in the books according to their works." And of course, as we touched on this last time, the record of your sin, the things that you have done in your life, all of your sins. Now, you know what some of your sins are, but you've forgotten what most of them are. And same with me. And there's also sins that you've committed that you didn't even realize were sins. All of this is going to be revealed before God at the great white throne judgment for the unsaved. Now, keep in mind, no one who has put their faith in Christ will be here at this judgment. These are simply the people throughout the ages who have rejected God, rejected Christ as their Messiah. These people will stand before God, and their life and everything that they've done will be open, an open book literally before God. And then it talks about the book of life being there, and the book of life is there for the person that says, "But Lord, Lord, haven't I," and they go on to do the things or say the things that they've done in the name of the Lord, "haven't I been your child? Haven't I been your servant?" And the Bible says he'll say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And if they say, "But surely, surely my name's in the book of life can be opened and say that here, there's no name here. The name is not there." The book of life is not there to see whether you're going to heaven or not. The book of life is there as the final evidence that you do not belong to God that you are going to be in the lake of fire for all eternity. And as it continues on, it says, the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Now, let me say something that sometimes sounds controversial because people don't pay attention to how the Bible says things, and I'm going to tell you this. The idea that hell is eternal resting place of the unsaved, that is not the case. That is not true. The Bible never says that. Fact, it said right here, we just read it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Hell is a temporary place. You say, well, you don't believe in eternal punishment? No, I never said that. We just talked about the lake of fire. Guess what happens to hell? Verse 14, Revelation 20, verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Did you catch that? Hell is cast into the lake of fire. Well, clearly hell and the lake of fire are two different things. I can take a bucket and throw it into the lake because the lake's bigger than the bucket. I can't throw the bucket into itself. Nor can I throw the lake into the bucket. You know, I the bucket can't be thrown into itself. The lake of fire is not hell. Sometimes we call it Gehenna. And it's the eternal lake of fire where the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, where they're tormented day and night forever and ever, where they have no rest day or night forever and ever. It is the eternal doom and the eternal punishment of those without Christ. So don't say Pastor Al said there's no eternal damnation. The eternal damnation takes place in the lake of fire. Hell is only the temporary abode of the dead until they're cast into the lake of fire after going through the great white throne judgment. And it says in verse 15, and whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So now, the great white throne judgment is over, and the unrighteous for all the ages are now in the lake of fire. The devil and his fallen angels are now in the lake of fire. The beast or the Antichrist and the false prophet are in the lake of fire. Death and hell itself are in the lake of fire. So what happens next? Well, this is where we come to Revelation chapter 21, where he says in verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, this is an exciting time when you think about it. And this is a complete change, a new heaven and a new earth, he said. The first heaven and the first earth are passed away. Let me go back to 2 Peter here. 2 Peter also touches on this, where he says in 2 Peter chapter 3, and let's start in verse number 9 here. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is God's will here. Will this happen? Will all come to repentance? No, because we just saw there in Revelation chapter 20 that many people have rejected Christ, and they're going into the lake of fire for all eternity. God's will is that all come to repentance, but unfortunately, not everybody is going to be compliant with God's will. This is where Calvinists have a bit of a problem because they think everything happens according to God's will. God's will is that not any should perish. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Some people don't because God has given us the ability to choose. Those that have chosen not to trust Christ as their Savior, they are the ones who will perish. Those that do realize that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for their sin, they're the ones that by faith, when they put their faith in Christ as their Lord and Savior, they will not perish because they've come to repentance. And then it says this in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heaven shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, Peter talks about heavens, plural, and John talked about heaven, singular. And here's the reason. In Revelation chapter 12, in chapter 21, in verse 1, where he says the new heaven and the new earth, he's talking about the new heaven as in the spiritual realm, and the new earth that has to do with the physical realm that reflects directly what we see in Genesis chapter 1, where it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Heaven there is the spiritual realm. Earth there at the time was the entirety of the physical realm. So spiritual and physical realms. And Peter, though, says heavens, because we know that there's at least three heavens from what Paul said about being caught up to the third heaven. So we know that there's at least three heavens. The first heaven, we think of the atmosphere around the earth where birds fly, airplanes fly, and that's the first heaven. The second heaven would be outer space. That would be space outside the earth's atmosphere, where the moon is, where the sun is, where the stars are. That's space. That's the second heaven. The third heaven in the scripture is the spiritual heaven. It's not, as the song falsely says, somewhere beyond the starry sky. No, it's right next door to us. And the windows of heaven open periodically in the Bible, where people on the earth look into heaven directly. So the third heaven is the spiritual realm. So Peter is talking about the heavens, the atmosphere of the earth, the outer space, and the spiritual heaven. John just talks about the physical and the spiritual realms, the heaven and the earth, reflecting what's in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Excuse me, I still got this cough. Continue to pray for me about this cough. It just lingers on from being ill. But now let's get back to this idea of the new heaven and the new earth. Something that is really incredible when you think about it in terms of physics. People have coined this idea of what they call the strong nuclear force. Now, what does that got to do with what we're talking about? In Hebrews, and we're quickly running out of time here. In Hebrews, it talks about how God has made everything through Christ. And it says in verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sins, sat down the right hand majesty on high. But this idea here, this phrase, upholding all things by the word of his power. We know that in electricity and magnetism, opposite charges attract and like charges repel. And here's the idea. If you take a magnet and you take the north pole end of the magnet and you put it against the north pole end of the other magnet and you let go, what happens? They fly apart, don't they? And if you put the south pole into the one magnet against the north pole into the other magnet, they stick together, right? So let me ask you this. What has happens in an atom is that you have electrons that are attracted to the positive charge of the protons in the nucleus of the atom, right? So that pulls the electrons in. But you ever wonder how the protons don't fly apart? They're all positively charged. What keeps them together inside the atom? Well, the Bible says he upholds them by the word of his power. Physics, they coin a term, the strong nuclear force, because they really don't know what holds it together. I think it's God that holds it together. And one day he's going to let it go and the elements will melt with a fervent heat. And then he's going to recreate it as a new heaven and a new earth, new heavens and a new earth. Will you be there? Well, I hope you will be there. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says your sins will be forgiven, you'll be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you will be there in that new heaven and new earth. I hope you will be. Well, thanks for listening. Join us again next time. We'll continue the conversation. God bless.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 10 to midnight. And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.